Lord, we rejoice. We rejoice that our names are written in heaven. Lord, when the trials and temptations and struggles of this life sadden us and grieve us, you call us to rejoice. Help us in those times to rejoice as well. We ask all this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Does God come to us like a loving mother or like a stranger out to get us? Does God come to us like a loving mother or like a stranger out to get us? Some of you are wondering where you recognize that quote. Quite a few of you here in the parish have read Tish Harrison's book, Prayer in the Night, and she asked that question in there. Does God come to us like a loving mother or like a stranger out to get us? When I was around 5 or 6 years old, it's so strange the things we remember when we're little. 5 or 6 years old, I would go to bed every night and mom and or dad would tuck me in and they would say a prayer with me and then they would go do whatever adults do after that. Lights were still on in the hallway and I would cover myself up completely all the way over my head with the covers except for one little slot, one little slit there so I could breathe a little bit better and so I could see what was happening out there. And I looked down the hallway, lights were still usually on, looking into the guest bedroom, and out of that guest bedroom, there marched a line of gray, gigantic cloud monsters, perfectly in file, walking down the hallway, never coming into my room or doing anything strange, just marching down the hallway. I was not asleep. This seemed like years of my life in my memory of seeing these gray monsters walk down the hallway. It was probably 1 month, but I really remember them. And I looked at them through that little slit, and I thought, I know they're not real. I know they can't be real. Why? Because I, like every little kid, I'd already asked Mom and Dad, Mom, Dad, are monsters real? No, son. They're just pretend. They're just for fun, like on Sesame Street and the Muppets. That's what those monsters look like, by the way. They're just gray versions of those big, hairy monsters on the Muppets. Now, they're usually friendly, but some of them were kind of scary sometimes. No, son, they're not real. You're safe. It'll be okay. There are no monsters. We love you. What a beautiful thing for a child to be comforted by a mother and by a father. That's such a good memory and so good. And every loving parent says that to their little children when they ask about the monsters. In this passage today, Israel is coming back from Babylon. All the way back in chapter 40, actually, the second half of Isaiah, Isaiah calls the prophet to comfort my people. In this section that we read today, it starts off, rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Jerusalem is the home for these Israelites. They've been in exile. They've been in captivity of Babylon, of the beast, the abomination, a great monster. And that great monster has wreaked havoc in their lives. Destroyed, ruined, killed lives for years and years and years, and they're coming back. And so it is definitely a time to rejoice in this restored Jerusalem that the Lord is bringing them back to. But the promises here that he makes in both chapter 65 and 66 are huge. It's not just this new Jerusalem, not just this restored Jerusalem. He says, the Lord says things like, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. This promise seems to go beyond just that temporary Jerusalem. And so you can imagine for these Israelites being happy, coming back into their homeland away from these monsters that have hurt them from the outside and hearing God's call to rejoice, and must be very easy at first to rejoice. But then after some time, we see in the other prophets and the other writings, we see these struggles of there are still these big monstrous other nations that want to take over and want to be the Babylon again. And that they do come in and they do afflict and trouble this new restored Jerusalem. And not only are these same monsters still plaguing from outside, but also inside. Even inside Jerusalem, even inside the individual's hearts, there's still a hardness and a stiffness and a doubt of God's glory and his promise and goodness. There's still a thought of what if God isn't like a mother that comes to comfort us, but what if he's like a stranger out to get us? And so the Israelites must have been wondering, and they're hearing God's promises, and they're wanting to rejoice. At times it's easy, but other times it's very, very difficult to rejoice when they look at these struggles and monsters and things outside and inside hurting. That same promise, those same questions the Israelites must have been asking, are questions that we ask too, even with our deeper understanding of what Christ has done. We want to rejoice. Our hearts want to rejoice. We want to be glad, and we often are. We thank God for saving us, that our names are written in heaven. At the same time, we look around us. We look at the enmity and hatred, violence, suffering, sickness, all around us, in our immediate sphere, in our country, in our world. We look at these terrible monsters, sin, suffering, and death. And we often wonder, Lord, where is this promise? Where is this new Jerusalem, this new heaven, and this new earth? See, this promise that he gives this promise of New Jerusalem, which is home. It's not just that place that you can take a trip to today. This New Jerusalem is home. It was home for the Israelites. The New Jerusalem for all of us is our eternal home. And it's this new heavens and this new earth that we are waiting for, where everything is set right and everything is restored. And this is what God promises to us. It was more than just that promise to the Israelites. It's a promise to us. And in this New Jerusalem, this wonderful home, we're promised that that home, that city, that New Jerusalem will treat us the way a loving mother treats her child, cares for him, and loves him, bounces him on the knee, as the passage says, plays and provides everything, all nourishment and health and safety. That city will be like that for us. And not only is that city such a good place, such a kind and motherly place, God himself says that he will come as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. What a beautiful picture. We believe that and want to rejoice because of that. But we keep asking ourselves, why are these enemies still here, Lord? Why are these monsters still here? Why are we still struggling? Where is this peace like a river? Lord, you said, behold, I extend peace to her, to this city, like a river. Where is it, Lord? When we doubt that, when we doubt that his promises are true, that he really will give us this new home, that he really will comfort us as a mother comforts her child, that he really will wipe away all the monsters, all of our enemies. When we doubt that, we try to take the matters into our own hands. We try to do what all the rest of the world does, and we'll make our own peace like a river. We will make our own new and perfect home. We will follow the way that last week we saw in the passage of Luke, James and John, when the Samaritans rejected Jesus. James and John said, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven? When we forget who we're following, when we forget his promises to us, that's what we want to do. We want to call down that fire from heaven upon every monster, every perceived monster in our life, every enemy around us in the world. And when we try to do that in our own strength, we risk great, great danger. You know it because you do it in your own life. I do it in my own life. Just think, if you were to call down on the fire on your enemies, the ones you perceive as your enemies, will you always get it right? Or you'd be like James and John calling it down on these Samaritans who were people who were lost and hurting and needed to hear about the kingdom of God. Think about with your own families, your own beloved spouses, brothers and sisters, your children. Think how quickly you snap and get angry at times over nothing. You call down the fire with your mouth. I do it too. I regret it every time. We don't know how to call down the fire rightly. Jesus rebuked James and John, and he said, proclaim the kingdom of God. Now is the time to seek and save the lost. Remember that God knows the right time for judgment. Now is the time to follow Christ. Now is the time to proclaim the kingdom of God. So Jesus then going on, remember in that passage last week, he said he set his face to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, this place where God brought these Israelites back. This place where there's a bigger promise than just that temporary Jerusalem. This new heavens, the new earth, where everything is set right and there's no more hurting. It's not there yet. So Jesus approaches this Jerusalem and he looks at it in chapter 13, verse 34, and he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who are sent to you." He looks at Jerusalem and knows that's what's coming for him. That's what he's going to. That's what he's setting his face to for us because of his love for us. But he also perfectly trusts and knows the promises of God about the new Jerusalem, about this restored heavens and earth, about this perfect home. And the other part of that verse, he says, "O Jerusalem, how I long to gather you together like a mother hen gathers her chicks." Does God come to us like a loving mother or a stranger out to get us? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I long to gather you together like a mother hen gathers her chicks. Jesus sets his face to Jerusalem and he goes to the cross, and the fire of heaven is called down upon him. He takes upon every monster, every enemy, all of our suffering, all of our sin, and wipes it away. Not only does he take it on, not only does he die for us, not only does he face that monster of death, he defeats it. He tramples Satan and hell. And he rises again. Christ has died. Christ has risen. Christ will come again. Because of that promise, because of what he did, because of him taking on all of that for us and giving us all of his righteousness, because of that, we can still rejoice. We can go out into this world and proclaim God's kingdom, rejoicing even in the midst of all the monsters and troubles and evils that still face us in this world, because his promises are true, because Christ is risen, because death is defeated, and we will be lifted up. He will raise us up with himself. And so in the Galatians passage, where Paul says to the Galatians, don't become weary in doing good. Listen, if you think that you've got to bring peace like a river in this world by yourself in your own strength, if you've got to destroy all the enemies in your life and in the world, you are going to grow really weary. You're going to get really tired and you're going to give up because you can't do it in your own strength. But if you are proclaiming God's kingdom and you are believing these promises of God, of this new heavens, this new earth, this new Jerusalem, this new home, this place where you are comforted and where God himself comforts you like a mother, you know that he has won the battle. And you can rejoice, and you will not grow weary in doing good. Martin Luther, in his song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God," he says, "The body they may kill. In this life, there are monsters that can kill our body. They're on their last leg. They cower," as Psalm 66:3 says. "They cower, they cringe before the Lord, because they know that their days are numbered. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still." These promises of this new heaven, this new earth, this place where there's no more hurting, no more sorrow, no more death, where every tear is wiped away, it's really, really true. God comes to you like a loving mother, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. The body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. The kingdom of the monsters is dead on its last breath, but the kingdom of God is forever. Our happy home, where we are comforted by the God who comes to us like a loving mother. Thanks be to God.